Staying with federal politics, Barnaby Joyce is a former Nationals leader and current One Nation MP for New England and joins me now. Barnaby Joyce, welcome back to Breakfast.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. I've been up this morning watching Argentina beat England, which I make my condolences to the English supporters and congratulations to the Argentinian ones.
Indeed. Looking at the issue of data centres, the federal government has announced new mandatory standards for large-scale data centres. Mm-hmm. Do you welcome that? What does One Nation think about the rise of AI?
Well, it's inevitable and it's happening and we have to work out how we manage it. To ignore it is like ignoring the Industrial Revolution. It's going to have massive effects on employment. If you have a job where it's yourself, a keyboard and a computer, the time is coming where AI will do it better than you, cheaper than you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which means that doesn't mean you're unemployed, but it means that there has to be a vision by the government as to where people go next. As far as the actual capital of it, this is where I do have issues. We have some of the dearest power and electricity in the world, and we haven't built a new dam. I don't know. So I was probably the last one to put money aside to build dams, and even that was fighting the green movement every inch of the way. So where are you going to get your water from, and how are you going to do it with some of the dearest electricity in the world, which even in the last AEMO report, CSI report yesterday, talks about a further 55% spike in prices. Now, these will be the most unaffordable data centres in the world. They might get built, but they're not going to be competitive. So I think what you'll see in Australia is sort of residual capacity built, but the main game will be somewhere else where they're not so stupid as to try and run a nation on intermittent power, solar panels, wind towers, et cetera, and they actually do build dams.
Separately, on a separate issue, One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has been visiting the UK. She's met with far-right activist Tommy Robinson to film a social media video and record a podcast. Mr. Robinson is a convicted criminal for several violent offences and is considered a divisive voice against immigration in the UK by some. What's the benefit of Pauline Hanson meeting someone like that?
I think one of the big things there is to understand the social dynamic that brought about Tommy Robinson. Now, I don't support so much of what Tommy Robinson does, but I think it's incredibly important that we understand the social dynamic and how that came about. Tommy Robinson only exists because of the fracturous nature of where England has arrived at, and to deny that is to deny the facts. The issue there, and I've just got back from England, which I paid for myself, just so your listeners know, I paid for it out of my own pocket, is that there is a social change, a change in many areas towards a form of Islamisation of the communities, and this has brought real friction, real heat, and has brought about the rise of groups such as Tommy Robinson. And
is he a credible figure to be talking to about those issues? The issues are undeniably existing at the moment. Is he the bloke to talk to about them?
Well, would you interview him, Sarah?
Tommy Robinson?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd hold him to account if I
interviewed. That's fair enough. And so that's the issue. And this is a discussion I had with Carl. I just think he absolutely deserves to. I mean, I would expect you to interview him. I really would, because I'd really want to know what is going on. I think you have a duty to interview him. But and I think that's what needs to be.
He's not an elected political official at the moment. Do you think that Carl Stefanovic?
But I think we all know that there is a massive following that he has, and we've got to understand that. And what we've got to do in Australia is make sure we don't replicate the social disharmony that has brought that about. And Sarah, we will if we go down the same path. Sorry, Sally.
You're right. Is it an exercise in? Is it worth? In your view, is it worth speaking to someone like Tommy Robinson? You're talking about the UK not going down the same path as the UK. Do we also not want to go down the same path as Tommy Robinson, a convicted criminal who's made some hateful comments about some communities in the UK?
Well, I don't intend to replicate Tommy Robinson, but I certainly want to clearly understand the social dynamics of.
I guess what I'm asking is, here's an example of how not to handle this rather than how to handle it.
I just like the question I posed to you. I know it was rhetorical. I think to learn more about an issue, you do talk to people. I find everything about I don't know, to take it to a ridiculous extreme. Everything about Mussolini to be fairly repugnant. But if I had the opportunity to talk to him, I would, to work out exactly what was going on in their head.
If the idea is to talk to people to find out what's going on, has Pauline Hanson met with community leaders or Islamic leaders in the UK?
Well, I think you'll see there's a spotlight program coming out where she's doing precisely that.
She has spoken with Islamic leaders in the UK?
She's certainly talking to people in the Islamic community, but I don't want to give a plug to another stable, but I think we'll see that pretty soon.
In Carl Stefanovic's interview with Tommy Robinson, did he hold Tommy Robinson to account, in your view?
I think that, look, I was really sort of in support that the Fourth Estate, being also you, Sally, has a right to interview people. I think you have an obligation, actually, to interview people, and you have to interview. And people, me as a consumer of what you put forward, Sally, I'm discerning enough to make up my own opinions, you know, and I can listen to someone and read between the lines of whether this is a good person.
Can you make
a
bad
person.
Your own opinion if issues regarding that individual, say Tommy Robinson, are not adequately raised, if he's not challenged?
I know about Tommy Robinson. You know about Tommy Robinson. Any person who's talking about AI, all you have to do is Google it and you'll soon find out all what you need to know. And then, I believe in the liberty of the individual in such a form as I can make my opinion about Tommy Robinson. And I form my opinion by the information I know. And if Radio National interviews him, which I would expect them to try and do, that assists me in making my opinion. And it also exists in the greater sort of ventilation of the issues that surround it. This idea of, we just don't talk to people anymore, and that's how we work ourselves in the public square.
Is it that, or is it failing to raise some of the tougher issues regarding that individual?
Well, I think that's... I know about the tougher issues. I mean, we're talking about it now. We know about it. But, you know, and I want to be able to hear the person and try and work out, for better or for worse, why did this person get the prominence and get the support they did? What went wrong that happened? Because if everything was completely cohesive and there was no problems, there'd be no Tommy Robinson.
On a separate issue, you've said that your One Nation colleague Malcolm Roberts' praise of US conspiracy theorist Alex Jones doesn't reflect the party views of One Nation. What is One Nation's position on someone like Alex Jones, who has had several conspiracy theories and denied, for example, that the Sandy Hook school shooting was real?
Well, just black and white. Sandy Hook was an outrageous murder of innocent people. It was no false flag event, neither was 9/11. People have the capacity to discuss these things, but I'm just being quite categorical about that.
In previous social media posts, Malcolm Roberts has shared an image of a notorious anti-Semitic mural, describing it as, quote, the most powerful pic he'd ever seen. In the background is the image of a pyramid with an eyeball on it, synonymous with the Illuminati conspiracy theory. Should elected representatives be sharing material like that?
Well, it's a... Look, we make our opinions by what people put forward. I'm not here to start... carpeting Malcolm. I'm not going to do that. If you wish to have a discussion with him, I'm sure you can have him on your show.
Have you asked him to pull back or refrain on some of this stuff?
Any discussions I have will remain private, and I'm the Treasury and Infrastructure spokesman, and I certainly do discuss issues with Malcolm which pertains to costings and how we make sure that Australia, which is in a world of trouble, gets itself out of the financial trouble it's got itself into.
Just finally, we've seen something of a dip for One Nation in some polling this week. What's your view on that, about why that's happened, and do you expect that trend to continue, or it's early days?
I think I've been very deliberate and cautious about this all the way through. Polling is an indicator. It is not a vote. When you get to an election, you'll have a vote. There is a lot of ground to cover between now and election. I'm not going to fall, as I've always said before, for the sins of hubris. That is, you know, hoorah, we're there, because hubris befalls nemesis. Nor am I going to fall for the trap of panic. We just take one day at a time work hard, talk humbly, and hopefully people have a considered opinion about us at the time of an election.
Barnaby Joyce, we'll need to leave it there. Thanks for your time this morning.
You're welcome, Sally. Stop calling us Sarah, for God's sake.